from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we got 3 more hours left to get after it. Your nighttime host, Keith McPherson, on the Fan. We call this KM to AM. I don't have any more guests. You can be the guest. You can be the co-host if you like. Call me up. 888-808-1019. I'll give you plenty of time. We're going to talk sports. That's what we're supposed to do. This is WFAN, the Fan in New York. You heard? Let's get right back to it. I want to play the other cut from 54-year-old Brett Favre talking about some, 20 years ago, him and his relationship with Aaron Rodgers. It doesn't matter. Perhaps he can't exactly recall. But citing watching film together with a guy, like, that doesn't count as a relationship. I watch film with a bunch of guys in college that I don't even know their names anymore. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know where they are. That's practice. That's work. In the NFL, that's you going to work. That's a coworker. And a lot of times you're in the film room quietly and you're getting coached and you're going over things. And I mean, that's mostly probably him watching your reps, your first team reps in the game. So let's play the second clip from Brett Favre, which whatever you think about Brett Favre is neither here nor there. Zach Gelb right next door, Infinity Sports, was able to get him as an interview. And let's hear what he thinks, right? A guy that had a similar path before Aaron Rodgers, played in Green Bay and was a great quarterback there. Aaron Rodgers kind of became a better quarterback, won a Super Bowl, and arguably is the best quarterback they've had, the best player they've had. And then he went to the Jets, and Brett Favre knows all about that. So let's hear Brett Favre talking about the expectations for Aaron Rodgers this year.
Coming off the Achilles injury, now hopefully if he's able to stay healthy, first full year in New York actually playing, what do you expect from Aaron Rodgers this year?
Well, if Aaron's healthy, I expect what everyone else expects, that he leads that team to potentially a championship. Their defense, I don't think anyone can question whether you're familiar with the Jets or not. Their defense is pretty darn stout. And when you got a really good defense, you got a chance. Now, you throw Aaron in the mix, and, this is probably not a better playmaker at quarterback starting in the league right now, even at his age. I mean, he's you throw the age out, the number, and look at how he moves and gets rid of the ball and his football knowledge. He's got the highest football IQ of anybody I've ever been around. So I expect that they compete for not only the division championship, but the conference championship.
Okay. They're expecting the Jets to go from 13 years of missing the playoffs to right to the AFC championship. Crawl before you walk and run. Just win some games. Get to the playoffs. Playoffs, yes, that should be the goal. End the drought. 888-808-1019. We've got football calls. We've got Yankee calls. Let's get back to the calls. Luke is in Floral Park. Luke, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I was wondering what you thought about Jameis Winston being the starter in Cleveland. I saw you comment on Instagram on like a Jameis Winston hype video, QB1. I was like, oh, I think he should be QB1 too, but why do you think he should be QB1?
Deshaun Watson, the masseuse madman, the massage parlor maniac. I just think he's cooked. I don't think the version of Deshaun Watson that we saw with the Texans exists anymore. I don't know how good of a quarterback he is anymore. And that Browns team is ready to win. That Browns team has a lot of talent. I think they can win week 1 against the Dallas Cowboys. But if Deshaun Watson is holding them back, he's not going to have a long leash, because why should he? Because of the contract? You saw Joe Flacco lead them to the playoffs last year. They signed Jameis Winston for a reason. Famous Jameis is going to be ready to go. He's a locker room guy. He's a guy that can give you a lot of rah-rah, give you a pump-up speech. And I grew up watching Florida State, the last national championship that they won. Jameis quarterbacked them to that, so I got a little bit of a soft spot for Jameis. I know he's had his issues, But I think if Deshaun Watson gets hurt, which is very likely, or Deshaun Watson struggles again, they got Jameis for a reason. They got Jameis for a reason. He'll be ready to go.
Is there any situation where you would put like Jameis in QB1 like at week one before you see anything from Deshaun in the regular season?
No, the stupid Cleveland Browns at the time gave Deshaun Watson the largest guaranteed contract in NFL history because they're so desperate for quarterback play. The quarterback that they drafted has now gone on to Tampa to get paid and has gone, you know, won a playoff game in Baker Mayfield. I don't think that they'll do it week one, but I just think that there's, you know, kind of some writing on the wall. If Deshaun Watson gets hurt or he struggles, you got Jameis there, a former overall number one pick. I think that he'll be ready to rock.
I appreciate you taking my call, bro.
Thanks for the call, Luke. Yeah, I don't know. I wish no luck on Deshaun Watson. I don't know if you guys remember me talking about Deshaun Watson years ago when that story popped up. I'm like, this is despicable. This guy was using, you guys know the story. You guys know the story. I don't even need to rehash it. And it's kind of crazy that the Browns even signed him. Like, and you know what's even crazier? How quickly the Houston Texans just washed their hands of him. Oh, yeah, we'll draft C.J. Stroud. And when we're talking about the Jets going to win the AFC Championship, look at the Houston Texans. That's a team that I think can challenge Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, look at the Ravens. They add Derrick Henry to the two-time MVP in Lamar Jackson. He's got to show up, but I think they're going to make some noise. Football's going to be great this year. They let Patrick Mahomes get Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown. Like they let Andy Reid and the Chiefs get speed, right? What they lost in Tyreek Hill, they now have. And that's going to help an aging Travis Kelce. Their running backs will be fine. They don't rely on the running backs to get it done. They have the best player in football in Patrick Mahomes. And some 5'8 flag football quarterback just came out to say that he thinks he's a better flag football player than Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes catching a stray. Like, what do you say my name for? Like, why is he talking about me? I had some comments, you know, speaking of Luke just mentioning my Instagram comments. I had some comments on Instagram about, okay, here you go. Now this guy's calling out Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is going to go win another Super Bowl in the next year or two, maybe two, who knows, maybe three Bs, whatever. He's going to go win another Super Bowl. And since this flag football quarterback called him out, you know, because this kid wants his spot in the Olympics, Patrick Mahomes is going to go win a Super Bowl and then take this kid's spot and go win gold. He's like that. 888-808-1019. Same way, I'm not saying anything against Aaron Judge. I learned my lesson last year. Stop counting out Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. They're here until they're not here. Last year, 2 years ago, rather, on The Fan, when everybody was picking the Bills to win the Super Bowl, I got here and I literally got on this mic, turned this mic on, and told you that the Chiefs would win the Super Bowl. I wish I had the tape of that. I called that before we saw the ball get kicked in the air week one. I'm like, no, the Chiefs are going to win. They have the best head coach, best quarterback. They still have talent. They have a defense. Let's see what the Chiefs' defense looks like this year. I don't think it's going to matter. I just think that offense is going to be potent. And as long as they keep Mahomes healthy, he's got a chip on his shoulder. Okay, speaking of chips on their shoulder, like I said, I'm not counting out Judge at all, or I'm not saying anything about Judge at all, his age, his contract, what he's going to be in the future, because every time you think that he's slowing down, or oh, they're going to stop pitching to him, or oh, his pace is going to slow down, like, no, Bobby Witt Jr. is the MVP, no, he shuts everybody up, he silences all critics. Let's get back to the Yankee conversation with Moose in Jamaica.
What it do, Keith, how are you?
I'm good, man. Hanging out. I'm in here watching Game 6 of the 2009 World Series on Yankees Classics.
Hideki Matsui. The times, man. True story. I was actually... Was it for... No, it was actually for what? Game 5? I was in West 4th Street for the Halloween parade. And the whole, like, lower Manhattan was going crazy at Matsui. Hitting bombs. I think game five, it might have been game five of the 2009 World Series was actually Halloween. But getting to my point, like, can we have a reality check real quick? All right. Mm-hmm. Remember the June Gauntlet?
Yeah.
When we played all these great
the
teams.
Dodgers,
or,
the Braves.
Like, yeah.
The Orioles.
The Orioles. Yeah. And I know we beat Cleveland early in the season on the road when we were, like, white hot. But, like, I don't understand the narrative that was created by the June Gauntlet, and at the same time, how we struggle against bad teams and good teams, and we beat good teams and we beat bad teams. Like I think the Yankee fans, like, I'm not trying to say the sky's falling or it's clear skies, you know, pink skies and everything, sunshines and rainbows, but like, it seems as though the narrative with the Yankee fan, because I'm a Yankee fan like you from the 90s, who expect championships and winning, but I was spoiled, so I'm content with what I experienced previous. But I don't think we should, like, it's a ride, people. The regular season is 162 games of just infinite bliss, infinite joy, and we got to take it as it comes. You can't necessarily live and die. I know the business you're in, you're supposed to talk about every game
nightly.
Like it matters because... Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But like, I mean, like, because, like, October's a whole other animal. You remember the days in the 90s, right? Whether it be the regular season of 98, we play today, we win today. Like,
Mariano Duncan, all the, of course.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm not saying these players are doing it for a check more than necessarily the will to win, as you call it, every given night or every given game. But it seems as though, to conclude my point, we have to just appreciate the greatness we're witnessing, take solace in the sort of heartbreak that comes with crushing losses or disappointing performances, and understand it's a clean slate in October. And what October is going to be predicated on is matchups, pitching situations, hitting situations, relief pitching, situational hitting.
Thanks for the call, Moose. Yeah, we know that, right? And, like, this is something I wanted to say as well. Because, like, I live and die with every game like you guys do. I'm on Yankees Twitter like you guys, some of you are. I'm on the radio daily, nightly, with takes. And even, like, when I came in here Tuesday, I said, I apologize if I say anything I don't mean. Like, I'm living in the disappointment of tonight. With the Yankees, we can't fast forward to October. Nobody knows what's going to happen in October. But a lot of us are guarded. A lot of us are jaded. A lot of us have PTSD and scars that, you know, we don't want to be hurt again in October. We don't want to get our hopes up again on a team that's going to fail the same way we've seen fail time and time again. So when you see things like a DJ LeMahieu, who is aging, who has terrible at-bats, who forgets to step on first base, you're like, no, 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 end this. This can't go on in October. When you see a Gleyber Torres who forgets how many outs there are or boots ground balls or can't turn double plays or doesn't hustle to first, you say, no, no, no. Nip this in the bud before we get to October. This can't plague us. When you see Clay Holmes, where I said, you can worry or you can pray. I don't worry, I pray. He's Pray Holmes. Hashtag pray for Clay. I don't want to be praying every ninth inning when there are other options, there are other guys available, and then the Yankees keep telling you he's their closer, he's our closer, we have faith in him, and we're like, why? We understand that they're in first place. We feel like they should be in first place up five games. We understand that it's all right in front of them, and we can't fast forward. I tell you guys every night, we take it day by day, game by game, series by series, week to week, month to month, we can't fast forward. But we are diehard fans. So we literally die hard with an extra inning game where they should have swept the Cleveland Guardians. I came in here Monday and I told you no more Clay Holmes. 10 blown saves. That was the spot for him on Sunday Night Baseball. A 1-0 lead. Our old pal, wild pitch, comes through against Tarik Skubal, arguably the AL Cy Young winner this year, the best pitcher in the American League. And Clay blows that save. Clay can't get us those three outs. Our closer, our all-star closer. So I get it. I hear you, Moose, as far as, like, you know, the roller coaster. I told you guys I got off the roller coaster last year, July 17th. Did I tell you on Monday I'm getting off the roller coaster because they lost the Tigers? No. Did I tell you on Tuesday after I went to the game, you know, and they lost that first game and they found ways to lose? Did I tell you I was off the roller coaster? No, we're not off the roller coaster this year until they get eliminated in October. But I think a lot of us fear some of the mistakes, some of the issues, like Alex Verdugo out in left field, grounding to second base, leading the league in ground balls to second base. You know, we fear the lineup going quiet like it has so many years before that happening again in October. So what you're getting is the emotion of the fans every night that have been there, done that, that have seen these episodes before and were afraid to watch the same episodes again. I'm on record again saying I don't want the Houston Astros. Some of you guys are acting real tough all of a sudden. Some of you guys are acting like you're not hurt. Some of you guys are acting like you haven't been personally victimized by the Houston Astros. Why would you want the Astros? You're talking about exercising demons. You don't play. You don't control anything that goes on. So as I hear these tough Yankee fans, be careful what you wish for. Oh, yeah, yeah, bring on Houston. Yeah, yeah. No. As I'm currently looking at the Houston Astros in the top of the eighth with a 6-0 lead on the Baltimore Orioles, the Astros are in first place. Hector Neris, who last week I was telling you the Yankees should go get, DFA Tim Mesa, go get Hector Neris. Why? Because I already see the writing on the wall. The Cubs DFA him. He's going to go back to Houston. They're going to cheat. They're going to put him in their lab. They're going to fix him. And then he's going to be getting big outs for them the rest of the way. He's back with the Astros. Justin Verlander is back. Christian Javier is out for the season, but Framber Valdez, right back to being dominant. I don't want to see Jose Altuve again. I don't want to hear you nerds in the stadium chanting F Altuve. I don't want to see Alex Bregman again. I definitely don't want to see Yordan Alvarez. I don't know how long Kyle Tucker is out, but I bet you if there's a series against the New York Yankees in October, he'll be healthy hitting home runs for that. I don't want that. Give me somebody else. Give us another path. Give us another course. Because I was there for the wild card game in 2015. I was there in 2017, 2019, 2022. I'm good on it. I'm good on it. Just when you thought that the Yankees buried the Houston Astros last year, sweeping them in Houston, opening up this season, sweeping them in Houston. No, it'll turn to a house of horrors.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
And it made Park again. And I don't want to see this Juan Soto, Aaron Judge tandem lose to the Houston Astros like I've seen so many other Yankee teams in the past few years. 888-808-1019. I'm not putting that evil out there, Ricky Bobby. I'm not wishing for that. Why would I wish for the big bad bully that has beat my ass time and time and like, why would, like, I don't get you guys. I don't get some of you guys saying, oh yeah, now. Yeah, because you have Juan Soto. Juan Soto was able to dominate them with the Houston, dominate the Houston Astros with the Washington Nationals. But he had help all around him. He's got one guy in the lineup really to help him. I don't want to see the Houston Astros. Let's go to Mikey O in Elmwood Park. Mikey, you ready?
Hey, Keith. Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. You know, why would I want a piece of them? You know, we have so many minions. We have the minions in Yankee Stadium, and they've been there, and they've helped us through a lot. But I necessarily don't want to go back to that chapter if I don't have to. You know,
I don't want to relive that. No, I'm right there with you. I've seen it enough. No. We lose that every time. Yes. All roads end to elimination.
Yep, and if let's avoid it. But I got a couple things. I do have a nice Luis Gil. You know, both me, you and I have that Luis Gil connection. I have a nice one. Be there. I'll give it to you then. In 2:03. Listen, I wanted to give you an analogy, if I could. Over this Soto thing, they always go over this in the mornings and go back and forth with the Mets and the Yankees. Who's going to get Soto? You know the thing about the Mets, you know, we were always considered the evil empire, right? Although we've always had a great farm system and so on and so forth, which I've never heard of a Mets farm system. But Steve Cohen and his expenditures with all the money. Well, the way I look at it is he's putting together this chess piece, right? These chess pieces, and he's getting all kings and queens, but they're from all different sets. You know what I'm saying? and they all just don't match.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not the way he's going to ever build a team. You know what I'm saying? A team that works together.
David Stearns,
By picking up
David Stearns. David Stearns, I think, will start to build the pathway to them having a consistent team. But I understand in the past them adding a Starling Marte, a Francisco Lindor, even the guys that they added last year and traded away, from Verlander to Scherzer to Mark Canna, Eduardo Escobar, David Robertson. Yeah, go on.
They're putting together pieces, but not together, working together.
Sorry, we got to let you go, Mikey O. I disagree with that. I think that the Mets, with what Billy Epler was able to do last year, and I guess this is the segue to start bringing the Mets conversation in, with what Billy Epler was able to do at the trade deadline last year to get you some prospects, right? Mikey O just joked, I never heard of a Mets farm system. No, they have some guys. They have pitching. They have hitting. They have some guys that I think everybody has, learned the names of these, Jet Williams or Gilbert or Ronald Acuna Jr.'s little brother or Brot or, they have some names of some guys coming up. And then they also have Brett Beatty hanging out down there. They have Mark Vientos and Francisco Alvarez, who are major parts of the team this year. Christian Scott, who we got to see a little bit this year. They have some young talent in their future. But what I see, and I've said this before, and this isn't me just coming up with this now, what I see is Steve Cohen thought he could buy his way to a championship. He thought he could come in with all of the billions and just buy the best players and kind of cut the line, right? Like, thought he could kind of skip the line, like me trying to skip the line to get some fresh baked chocolate cookies, but the line was for ice cream. I was cutting across the line to get my cookies. I wasn't getting in line for ice cream, but whatever. David Stearns is building a pathway where they have a farm system, and then they can fill in the blanks with Steve Cohen's money. Okay, we need a starting pitcher, go buy one. Okay, we need to bid for a Juan Soto, bid for one. Okay, Yamamoto becomes available, and we need starting pitching, young starting pitching that can be here while this young, talented team comes up. Okay, buy one. Like, what they are doing is taking the small market president of baseball operations from Milwaukee and building the farm system and building the team that way, but then they have the superpower of the richest owner that can outbid everyone. What the Mets really need to do, which I think this is a huge year for, is build an attractive brand, right? It's going to be hard to scrub away the LOL Mets, but for the first time in a long time this year, I looked at the Mets and I'm like, damn, the Mets are cool. The Mets have cool things now. They have cool players now. They have themes that are like actually being respected across baseball. You might laugh at the Grimace thing, but for a while, that was something everybody was talking about in sports, not just baseball. This Grimace thing. Grimace threw out a first pitch. McDonald's is talking about it. McDonald's has a huge brand. They're playing into it. Like, what are the chances they call up Jose Iglesias the year that he has a number one hit single that charts number one, that people are streaming, that he's performing? He is living out a dream. I made the joke about Darren Waller. Could you imagine Darren Waller actually being what the Giants thought he was going to be last year? And then the Giants win on Monday Night Football and they say, hey, fans, stay in your seats for a performance from Darren Waller. Like, that, the Mets had that. And then having young guys like Mark Vientos and Francisco Alvarez that have the swagger, have the moxie, have the aura about them, on top of a guy like Francisco Lindor, who just became, I think, the first shortstop with 25 steals and 25 homers in three seasons or more. Like, he's a legit top shortstop in the league. Down year for Pete Alonso. Up and down year for Jeff McNeil. High points, low points. Brandon Nimmo being sick, being hurt. Looking like an all-star in the first half, not being able to find it. Adding former Yankee pieces. Carlos Mendoza, right? Where did that come from? We thought they were going to get Craig Counsell. Carlos Mendoza, I think, has been a great choice to manage this ball club. Harrison Bader has been more than serviceable in that outfield. They had DJ Stewart, got rid of him. Tyrone Taylor has been solid. Jesse Winker, they get at the deadline. He just had his Mets moment. Starling Marte comes back. Jeff McNeil can play out there. They have plenty of outfielders, plenty of options. J.D. Martinez joins the team. They actually find a universal DH. It took a few years to actually plug in a guy that's a professional hitter to be your designated hitter. And in the rotation now, you sign a two-year deal with a guy like Sean Manaea. He's looking like your ace. Who saw that coming? I think that the Mets this year with Stearns, they have a guy calling the shots that's really got a baseball mind about him. And they have to see this all the way through. If they can see this all the way through this year and be a postseason team this year, they're ahead of schedule. And then that is the brand building. That is the, we're not the LOL Mets who started off 0-5, who were 11 games under, blowing games. You know, Jorge Lopez throwing his glove into the stands, misspeaking, saying, I feel like I'm the worst teammate in the league. And people think that he's saying, I think that I'm on the worst team in the league. Look how far they've come. Just as soon as you think Hawk Tua girl comes through and it's LOL Mets, so Mets, only the Mets can out-Mets the Mets. They lose that series, but they bounce back. They take two from the Marlins, win that series. They take two from the Orioles, win that series. Now we got to see what they're going to do on the road. This is the Mets season. This is it right here. Because they're facing the two teams that are ahead of them in the wild card. They got to go 6-4 minimum. Really, you want them to go 7-3 with the White Sox on the end of this road trip. It's now or never. This is make or break. So coming up on this Mets game in about 12 minutes, I believe it's Luis Severino on the mound against Dylan Cease. I can't wait to watch these games. I mean, I'm going to watch a little bit in here, but I was on last night talking about how, you know, the pitching matchups in this series are awesome. So Severino versus Dylan Cease. Then you get Paul Blackburn versus Joe Musgrove. Then you get David Peterson versus former Yankee Michael King. And then you get Jose Quintana, who better have the best start of his season. He needs to get a good one versus Martin Perez. I think this is 4-game set in Petco Park for the Mets. They better be spanking and smacking the air like they always do. Let's go Yankee Mets. 888-808-1019. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. We're halfway through my 5-hour show. Yankee fans, stay on the line. I'm coming to you next. As this Mets game starts, we're going to start talking Mets as well. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Vibes. Beats, calls, sports talk in New York City. Thursday night, Keith McPherson on the Fan, KM to AM. My boy Nick at Night behind the glass. He's doing the DJing. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding. I'm going to try and run through the calls faster. We're on the second half of my 5-hour show. So let's get back to it. We've talked about everything from the New York Yankees, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge. My take to start the show was that this is the stretch. This is the stretch. No losing streak. No win a game, lose a game, blow a game. No putting DJ LeMahieu in there because we got to grind it out with him and he's earned it. Please. Sit Verdugo down too. Let the kids play. You know, this is time for the Yankees to create some room as the Astros are handling the Baltimore Orioles, and the Orioles right now, they're reeling. This is the time. You have the Rockies coming to town. You should be up 2 games, 3 games. And I just started to talk about the Mets a little bit. We're waiting on the Mets game to start out there at Petco Park, Citi Field. This is also the time for the Mets. Not so much to, you know, they can't make a lead or they can't lock in, but like you're about to battle the peer tier teams, the other wild card teams. You're about to go toe to toe with the two teams that are in the number 2 and 1 seed in the National League wild card. If you think you're of that caliber, you can't get swept by them or your literal season is over. Like if you get swept by the Padres or you lose 3 out of 4 to the Padres, then you go to Arizona and you lose 2 out of 3 there. Like you're going to be so far back, it's going to be tough to imagine, you know, another comeback moment, another, you know, overcome these losses because the Mets didn't capitalize against the Angels, against, you know, the Oakland A's. They have to right now. There's no more time. We talked a little bit of football with Connor Hughes. Shout out to my guy coming through to talk Jets and Giants. And I think basically the theme from there is that the Jets are on a different trajectory. They're at a different stage. They're in win-now mode. They have Aaron Rodgers. They have Garrett Wilson. They have Breece Hall and a defense that's been elite for the last 3 years. They're expected to compete and go to the AFC Championship, some are saying. You know, and I start talking about the Chiefs, and I start talking about the Chiefs not worrying about the running backs. Go look online right now. This kid, Carson Steele, it's just a nasty stiff arm that he just applied in a preseason game. all you got to do is type in Carson Steele, S-T-E-E-L-E. Beast. This kid, just add him to their running back room potentially. I'm sure he's going to make the team just off of that play. Anyway, football's coming up. 2 weeks from now, the NFL season kicks off. Taking your calls on the Jets, on the Giants. The Giants got manhandled by the Jets in practice yesterday. The Jets are not going to play their starters against them in the MetLife Bowl. Malik Nabers can only be as good as the quarterback as the offense is. And Daniel Jones, it's all on him. Once again, it's a prove-it year for Daniel Jones in year six. Got to find out who Daniel Jones is. So, 888-808-1019. Mostly Yankee fans on the line, but I'm sure that'll change as the Mets game gets going and as we get later in the night where people have some thoughts and takes on the NFL season. And we're underway at Petco Park. First pitch is a ball high to Francisco Lindor coming from Dylan Cease. Mike is in New Haven, Connecticut. Hey, Mike.
Well, hey, Chief, what's going on?
You know, hanging out, doing a little work.
Yeah, I kind of disagreed with what you said there a little bit earlier.
Okay.
You know, you're a competitor, you're a winner. I don't see how you would want the Yankees not to face the Astros. And I'm not the type of guy, and I 100% agree with you, the Astros have the Yankees number through and through. Every single batter, every single pitcher shakes. When Houston comes to town or they got to go to Minute Maid Park. But I would kind of hate to see, like, I just hate to hear that from you because I know that you're a competitor. I know that you're a winner.
I can't play. I am a competitor. No, I don't play.
I know, but, like, you know, Judge is there. Like, that's my biggest thing, too, is October 1st comes, is Aaron Judge going to be able to hit the ball? Juan Soto, no doubt, because you've seen it time and time again with him. He was 21 years old. One with the Nationals. I mean, him, but Aaron Judge, this is his team. He's got to get over the hump in the postseason. Because he has blown
check me out, Mike. This is what I mean. Like, I love the Yankees, but do I truly believe in them? No, I believe more in the randomness of October. I believe more in the anybody can win in this postseason format. I believe more in anybody can get hot and get it done. It's not a crapshoot for Houston. It's not a crapshoot for Houston. They do this every year. As Brian Cashman will tell you, it's a crapshoot. They don't ever say it's a crapshoot. They find a way to get to the American League Championship every year. I saw Codified Baseball put out a couple days ago on August 18th, AL team records since June 18th. Guess who has the best record since June 18th? The Houston Astros.
The Houston Astros.
Guess who's not in the top 10? The New York Yankees.
The Yankees, yes. And that's the biggest thing is my boys are like, yo, this team is amazing. And for me, I'm a huge diehard Yankee fan, just like you, but I'm a Yankee realist. Like, it's been 7 years now, and you said to yourself, 2017, 2019, 2022, that wild card game
in 2021 when they went to Boston.
Yes, as well. But, you know, I'm talking about, like, the Judge era a little bit later on, but still 2015 for sure, and they just, October 1st comes, these dudes, I don't want to say don't have it in them, but it's just, you know what I mean? Like, some guys are meant for it. Houston, top to bottom, meant for it. Jordan Alvarez, they're swinging that bat.
As an organization, they have different managers. Yes. They have different general managers. Yes. But they know that their fans are coming to pack that place. They have a home field advantage in October, and they always find a way.
Absolutely.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Morris is in Brooklyn next up on the Fan. Go for it, Morris.
How are you, Keith? It's been a while.
Yeah, I don't know exactly when you last called. I know I'm on late. I encourage you guys to get your rest. Go to sleep at night. Don't stay up to listen to me until 2 a.m.
Yeah, you remember. So Mike stole what I was going to talk about, so I'll talk about something else. The Yankees right now, especially if they want to make it into the postseason, they need pitching. They need everything's going to be dependent on pitching. I think that in terms of offense, Judge, Soto, Stanton, and some other guys could could win it for us, but I think the pitching is kind of the problem. And I don't understand what Brian Cashman was thinking during the trade deadline. I know you speak about this all the time. It's like broken tape recorders, but what is he thinking not getting Jack Flaherty? Like, I couldn't come up with one solid reason why he couldn't get him. So, like, he's making excuses. Like, we don't want to trade our farm system.
He had some back issues.
We don't have...
Jack Flaherty had some...
Let me just finish. The farm system is not... We have enough players on our team. We don't need the farm system. The only person I wouldn't give up is Jason Dominguez. Everyone else you could give up.
Brian Cashman was on this radio station.
We need to win the World Series.
Just give me a second, Morris. You're still there. I'm not hanging up. Brian Cashman was on BT and Sal, and what he said was that they couldn't come to terms with the value. I think the Dodgers got the number 8 prospect from the Tigers. The Yankees weren't going to give up a top 10 prospect for Jack Flaherty, who had back issues. Also, this is Brian Cashman. He will not be fleeced. He will not be finessed. He has to have the upper hand. He's not going to make some mistakes like he's made in the past anymore, right? We could see how defensive Cashman got at the winter meetings, at the GM meetings, defending moves about Sonny Gray and Joey Gallo and all these other things from years past. So they weren't going out and getting fleeced. I think they feel like they have more than enough, and they are looking to the future. They think this is random, a crapshoot. They are looking down the line where I hope they plan on paying Juan Soto, and in doing so, you're going to need those young prospects. You're going to need those cost-effective players down the road. Go for it, Morris.
If you give up Spencer Jones, if you sign Juan Soto, what does it make a difference if you give up Spencer Jones? We don't need him. And the other kid, that shortstop, we don't need him either.
I don't. Thanks for the call, bro. I don't know what that was, a race car? I don't believe in you don't need him. I don't believe in just because you sign a guy that is an outfielder, you don't need this guy, right? Once upon a time, Brian Cashman had an interview where he named a bunch of outfielders that they had as reasons for why they didn't entertain Bryce Harper. And Bryce Harper was willing to play first base, and they even said that they didn't want to, you know what I'm saying? Like, you need talent. You need hitters. You need gamers. And this is New York. You need guys that can get it done on the big stage. Not everybody can get it done here. Juan Soto is a guy that he had no problem adjusting to playing at Yankee Stadium. The pinstripe's not heavy at all. That's a guy you sign. That's a guy you give all the money to. But as far as trading away a Spencer Jones, I told you guys I wasn't trading Spencer Jones. I wasn't trading Jason Dominguez. I don't care that they're outfielders right now. They could play something else. Spencer Jones could be standing at first base. You need bench players. You need guys, man. I don't know. What I will say is when the deadline ended, I'm like, is that it? Jazz Chisholm, great move. Instant pop, instant impact. Everybody around baseball was saying just what he was able to do the first week on the Yankees, great move. Gave up Augustin Ramirez, a catcher for him, where there's no room for Augustin Ramirez. Austin Wells exists. But to only get Mark Leiter Jr., and then Eniel De Los Santos, who you DFA'd like a couple weeks after getting him, it's not good enough. You needed a closer. I wanted Tanner Scott. And you needed another arm in this rotation. Luis Gil goes down. And, you know, Morris was talking about the starting pitching. It's a positive that Nestor has had good back-to-back starts. It's a positive that Gerrit Cole looks like the Gerrit Cole we all know and love. What's Rodon going to look like tomorrow? Marcus Stroman had to skip a start. Marcus Stroman isn't a power pitcher. He's a dominant pitcher. He's a crafty pitcher. Are you giving him the ball in October? Are you giving Clark Schmidt the ball? What's he going to look like when he comes back? We don't know. We don't know. So again, my faith in the Yankees potentially being able to win the World Series is because they have two of the top five players in the game, and it is a crapshoot, and it is random. And if they're healthy and they get hot at the right time, this could be the year, because also my faith lies in the fact that there's no clear-cut dominant team. It's wide open. 888-808-1019. That game is underway in Petco Park. I believe it's scoreless. Keep McPherson on the fan. No, it isn't. The Mets did just score right there. 1-0 Mets. I got to get this game on the TV. Keep McPherson on the fan. We'll be right back. You know, this is time for the Yankees to create some room as the Astros are handling the Baltimore Orioles, and the Orioles right now, they're reeling. This is the time. You have the Rockies coming to town. You should be up two games, three games. And I just started to talk about the Mets a little bit. We're waiting on the Mets game to start out there at Petco Park, City Field. This is also the time for the Mets. Not so much to, you know, they can't make a lead or they, you know, they can't lock in, but like you're about to battle the peer tier teams, the other wild card teams. You're about to go toe to toe with the two teams that are in the number 2 and 1 seed in the National League wild card. If you think you're of that caliber, you can't get swept by them or your literal season is over. Like if you get swept by the Padres or you lose 3 out of 4 to the Padres, then you go to Arizona and you lose 2 out of 3 there. Like you're going to be so far back, it's going to be tough to imagine, you know, another comeback moment, another, you know, overcome these losses because the Mets didn't capitalize against the Angels, against, you know, the Oakland A's. They have to right now. There's no more time. We talked a little bit of football with Connor Hughes. Shout out to my guy coming through to talk Jets and Giants. And I think basically the theme from there is that the Jets are on a different trajectory. They're at a different stage. They're in win-now mode. They have Aaron Rodgers. They have Garrett Wilson. They have Breece Hall and a defense that's been elite for the last 3 years. They're expected to compete and go to the AFC Championship, some are saying. You know, and I start talking about the Chiefs and I start talking about the Chiefs not worrying about the running backs. Go look online right now. This kid, Carson Steele, it's just a nasty stiff arm that he just applied in a preseason game. all you got to do is type in Carson Steele, S-T-E-E-L-E, beast. This kid, just add him to their running back room potentially. I'm sure he's going to make the team just off of that play. Anyway, football's coming up. 2 weeks from now, the NFL season kicks off. Taking your calls on the Jets, on the Giants. The Giants got manhandled by the Jets in practice yesterday. The Jets are not going to play their starters against them in the MetLife Bowl. Malik Nabers can only be as good as the quarterback as the offense is. And Daniel Jones, it's all on him. Once again, it's a prove-it year for Daniel Jones in year 6. Got to find out who Daniel Jones is. So, 888-808-1019. Mostly Yankee fans on the line, but I'm sure that'll change as the Mets game gets going and as we get later in the night where people have some thoughts and takes on the NFL season. And we're underway at Petco Park. First pitch is a ball high to Francisco Lindor coming from Dylan Cease. Mike is in New Haven, Connecticut. Hey, Mike.
Well, hey, Chief, what's going on?
You know, hanging out, doing a little work.
Yeah, I kind of disagreed with what you said there a little bit earlier.
Okay.
You know, you're a competitor, you're a winner. I don't see how you would want the Yankees not to face the Astros. And I'm not the type of guy, and I 100% agree with you, the Astros have the Yankees number through and through. Every single batter, every single pitcher shakes when Houston comes to town or they got to go to Minute Maid Park. But I would kind of hate to see, like, I just hate to hear that from you because I know that you're a competitor. I know that you're a winner.
I can't play. I am a competitor. No, I don't play.
I know, but, like, you know, Judge is there. Like, that's my biggest thing, too, is October 1st comes, is Aaron Judge going to be able to hit the ball? Juan Soto, no doubt, because you've seen it time and time again with him. He was 21 years old. One with the Nationals. I mean, him, but Aaron Judge, this is his team. He's got to get over the hump in the postseason. Because he
check me out, Mike. This is what I mean. Like, I love the Yankees, but do I truly believe in them? No, I believe more in the randomness of October. I believe more in the anybody can win in this postseason format. I believe more in anybody can get hot and get it done. It's not a crapshoot for Houston. It's not a crapshoot for Houston. They do this every year. As Brian Cashman will tell you, it's a crapshoot. They don't ever say it's a crapshoot. They find a way to get to the American League Championship every year. I saw Codify Baseball put out a couple days ago on August 18th, AL team records since June 18th. Guess who has the best record since June 18th? The Houston Astros.
The Houston Astros.
Guess who's not in the top 10? The New York Yankees.
The Yankees, yes. And that's the biggest thing is my boys are like, yo, this team is amazing. And for me, I'm a huge diehard Yankee fan, just like you. But
I'm a Yankee realist. Like, it's been 7 years now, and you said to yourself, 2017, 2019, 2022, that wild card game in 2021 when they went to Boston. Yes, as well. But, you know, I'm talking about, like, the Judge era a little bit later on, but still 2015 for sure. And they just, October 1st comes, these dudes, I don't want to say don't have it in them, but it's just, you know what I mean? Like, some guys are meant for it. Houston, top to bottom, meant for it. Jordan Alvarez start swinging that bat.
As an organization, they have different managers. They have different general managers. But they know that their fans are coming to pack that place. They have a home field advantage in October, and they always find a way.
Absolutely.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Morris is in Brooklyn next up on the Fan. Go for it, Morris.
How are you, Keith? It's been a while.
Yeah, I don't know exactly when you last called. I know I'm on late. I encourage you guys to get your rest. Go to sleep at night. Don't stay up to listen to me until 2 a.m.
Yeah, you remember. So Mike stole what I was going to talk about, so I'll talk about something else. The Yankees right now, especially if they want to make it into the postseason, they need pitching. They need everything's going to be dependent on pitching. I think that in terms of offense, Judge, Soto, Stanton, and some other guys could win it for us, but I think the pitching is kind of the problem. And I don't understand what Brian Cashman was thinking during the trade deadline. I know you speak about this all the time. It's like broken tape recorders, but what is he thinking not getting Jack Flaherty? Like, I couldn't come up with one solid reason why he couldn't get him. So, like, he's making excuses. Like, we didn't want to trade our farm system.
He had back issues.
We don't have...
Jack Flaherty had some...
Let me just finish. The farm system is not... We have enough players on our team. We don't need the farm system. The only person I wouldn't give up is Jason Dominguez. Everyone else you could give up.
Brian Cashman was on this
radio
station.
We need to win the World Series.
Just give me a second, Morris. You're still there. I'm not hanging up. Brian Cashman was on BT and Sal, and what he said was that they couldn't come to terms with the value. I think the Dodgers got the number 8 prospect from the Tigers. The Yankees weren't going to give up a top 10 prospect for Jack Flaherty, who had back issues. Also, this is Brian Cashman. He will not be fleeced. He will not be finessed. He has to have the upper hand. He's not going to make some mistakes like he's made in the past anymore, right? We could see how defensive Cashman got at the winter meetings, at the GM meetings, defending moves about Sonny Gray and Joey Gallo and all these other things from years past. So they weren't going out and getting fleeced. I think they feel like they have more than enough, and they are looking to the future. They think this is random, a crapshoot. They are looking down the line where I hope they plan on paying Juan Soto. And in doing so, you're going to need those young prospects. You're going to need those cost-effective players down the road. Go for it, Morris.
If you give up Spencer Jones, if you sign Juan Soto, what does it make a difference if you give up Spencer Jones? We don't need him. And the other kid, that shortstop, you don't need him either.
I don't. Thanks for the call, bro. I don't know what that was. A race car? I don't believe in you don't need him. I don't believe in just because you sign a guy that is an outfielder, you don't need this guy. Right? Once upon a time, Brian Cashman had an interview where he named a bunch of outfielders that they had as reasons for why they didn't entertain Bryce Harper. And Bryce Harper was willing to play first base, and they even said that they didn't want to, you know what I'm saying? Like, you need talent. You need hitters. You need gamers. And this is New York. You need guys that can get it done on the big stage. Not everybody can get it done here. Juan Soto is a guy that he had no problem adjusting to playing at Yankee Stadium. The pinstripe's not heavy at all. That's a guy you sign. That's a guy you give all the money to. But as far as trading away a Spencer Jones, I told you guys I wasn't trading Spencer Jones. I wasn't trading Jason Dominguez. I don't care that they're outfielders right now. They could play something else. Spencer Jones could be standing at first base. You need bench players. You need guys, man. I don't know. What I will say is when the deadline ended, I'm like, is that it? Jazz Chisholm, great move. Instant pop. Instant impact. Everybody around baseball was saying just what he was able to do the first week on the Yankees, great move. gave up Augustin Ramirez, a catcher for him, where there's no room for Augustin Ramirez. Austin Wells exists. But to only get Mark Leiter Jr. and then Eniel De Los Santos, who you DFA'd like a couple weeks after getting him, it's not good enough. You needed a closer. I wanted Tanner Scott. And you needed another arm in this rotation. Luis Hill goes down. And, you know, Morris was talking about the starting pitching. It's a positive that Nestor has had good back-to-back starts. It's a positive that Gerrit Cole looks like the Gerrit Cole we all know and love. What's Rodon going to look like tomorrow? Marcus Stroman had to skip a start. Marcus Stroman isn't a power pitcher. He's not a dominant pitcher. He's a crafty pitcher. Are you giving him the ball in October? Are you giving Clark Schmidt the ball? What's he going to look like when he comes back? We don't know. We don't know. So again, my faith in the Yankees potentially being able to win the World Series is because they have two of the top five players in the game, and it is a crapshoot, and it is random. And if they're healthy and they get hot at the right time, this could be the year, because also my faith lies in the fact that there's no clear-cut dominant team. It's wide open. 888-808-1019. That game is underway in Petco Park. I believe it's scoreless. Keith McPherson on the Fan. No, it isn't. The Mets did just score right there. 1-0 Mets. I got to get this game on the TV. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.